DW.
Our guide, Hossein Andy Paya, picks the ingredients for our lunch from his plantations in the jungle.
This leaf is very important for our culture. Long time ago, we used this leaf for pick the rice.
Ginger flowers, pineapple, midden or edible fern, corn and fragrant leaves are on the menu. He uses his machete to cut bamboo stalks, demonstrating how his people, the Bidayu, make traps from plants. 2 hours into the hike through the hills, we're getting tired, but soon descend down steep bamboo steps into a rocky river valley, flowing with crystal clear mountain water. At a small hut, we meet with the parents of local entrepreneur Saloma Gagook to prepare the food. 45-year-old Andy is worried about the future of his village.
The new generation, they don't like the village because they want work in the cooking. Maybe they want to enjoy at the cooking at the city because they want go to the karaoke, they want go to the pub, and sometimes they want go to play the game like a casino. Yeah, to see the young generation also to want to get the partner like this. Yeah, very easy to them to play the internet, to play the Facebook, to play the WhatsApp. Here we don't have the connection.
32-year-old Saloma warmly calls Andy her uncle. He's become part of the family in his role as a guide in the tourism concept. Saloma has been nurturing her homestay, called Saloma Homestay, for 5 years. Her home village is Kampong Sadir, 90 minutes drive from Kuching, the capital city of Sarawak. Like most young Bidayu, she left the village to study, graduating in mass communication. But unusually, she decided to return home and center her life around the village.
When I was in high school, I always dreamed to come back to my own people. It also because I felt that I want to be close to the nature. So basically, during my first 3 years before I really decide to open a homestay, I felt like, okay, maybe give it a try if it's work. I always felt like I must do something for my own people, and I need to find what other opportunity that we have around the area to make sure that we still have our culture and tradition alive in this village.
Saloma's mother cooks. Her father weaves rattan into intricate bracelets and skillfully creates drinking vessels from bamboo, while her sister takes guests on night walks to search for insects and amphibians. The house is busy. Young people come and go, giving guided walks to waterfalls or climbing the steep steps to the house, carrying supplies. Saloma hires from within the community.
Smell.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. Saloma's family is Bidayu, or land Dayaks. The Bidayu have been living for centuries in this jungle region that stretches from the northwestern part of Indonesian Borneo to the western part of the Malaysian state of Sarawak. She wants to stay in the village, but she is concerned about the future.
I do concern, very concerned. If all these elderly people gone, the village will be empty. If they're not coming back, then what happened to the resources around us? What happened to our culture? What happened to our tradition? What happened to our food? Maybe they don't know how is the tapioca look like anymore. Maybe they don't know how is the midden look like anymore, you know, because they don't learn all these things. Even though they can buy them from the market in the city, but they don't know how does it grow? How does it look like in the forest? It's a very big problem for us, and I do hope that the young generation start to think what other alternatives they can do in the countryside, in the village here.
As we are walking through the village, Saloma comes across a friend tending to her bags of rice. 35-year-old Helena Anak Rinon was working in a factory in the city, but she decided to come back to her village after a divorce.
The economy wasn't good in the city, and I wanted to earn my own money.
Now I take jungle products to the market. It's more peaceful and calm than living in the city.
During the weekend, around 400 people live here in the village. During the week, there is an exodus of 200 working-aged men and women who leave for the city. Saloma believes tourism could help revive the village.
Yeah, I do believe that the tourism can save this village in a few ways. They are also the right platform to tell the young people to save the animal, to save the endangered species. I did tell them about all these things, but of course, you know, like, a lot of things are in our blood, in our culture.
Saloma's homestay has 7 rooms, each fitting 2 guests. During peak season, she can have up to 14 visitors, adults and children, at one time. Other locals have opened their homes to tourists but lack the training on how to deal with foreign visitors. As the number of visitors grows, the Sarawak Tourism Board has been training locals, for instance, on waste management. But there are other challenges, too.
It's create more job for the local people, which is very, very good. But then we might lose our identity. Because when things start become popular, then you don't feel the exotic feeling anymore. You don't feel the authenticity feeling anymore. Because you just feel like, oh, okay, I'm just in the jungle, but I have the big hotel just next to me.
Saloma wants to give the visitors an authentic experience. At the same time, she believes it's very important to balance economic needs with a sustainable way to protect nature.
I do really feel when I listen to the sound of the jungle, the smell from the forest, that make me feel like, oh, I'm in heaven, I'm in my paradise.
For DW, I'm Maria Bacalapolo in Sarawak.
DW.